Well, good morning for 10 more minutes. My name is Sue Schenck. I am married to Merle Schenck, our lead pastor. I'm also the part-time communication coordinator here at Grace, and I also get the opportunity to speak this morning. Before I start, I want to give a very special welcome to parents and families of JMU and Bridgewater College students. You guys have both had your parents/family weekend. When I was at JMU, they only invited the parents, like your family was invited. It's called Parents Weekend. But now it's a family weekend. And so, and I think we've had a really clean sweep with JMU won yesterday, Bridgewater won yesterday, and even UVA won yesterday, even though technically, you know, but UVA's on a roll. I always find it interesting with UVA, our kids have gone there, and Merle and I are JMU grads, but our kids have been over the mountain, and whenever they do their family weekend, which is in November, they specifically don't have a football game that day. Like, go figure. But anyway, special welcome to you all who are here with your college students. I think if there was a drone hovering over the state of Virginia yesterday, you would have seen this dip in our area, because you had parents and family weekend at JMU, you had parent and family weekend at Bridgewater, you had the Mennonite relief sale yesterday, and Dayton Days. And so I think, which they said up to 20,000 people alone come to Dayton Days. So I think just the sheer weight of people who were in this area yesterday, I think the state of Virginia went whoop. So we are in a series on the values here at Grace Covenant Church. We just got done spending 4 weeks on the value of
generosity.
Thank you. And all of those sermons are out on the website. If you have not been out there to our new website, which I just want to take a little tangent here and give a shout out to Eric Arnez and Jose Martinez, two of our young guys on staff who worked their bottoms off to get this new website up and running. And their job is the kind of job that nobody notices when it's going well. Everybody notices when it's not going well. But Eric worked super hard, and I just want to give, I think you're here. Eric, are you still here somewhere? Where are you? Okay, well, if you see Eric Arnez, you need to give him a shout-out. Jose Martinez, he and a team literally translated our whole website into Spanish. Like, there wasn't a button that we pushed and said, we'd like Spanish, and the whole thing changed over. He and a team have been translating so that now Grace en Español has their own website as well. A lot of it's very similar to ours, and some of it's different. So if you see Eric or Jose, please give them a huge thank you. Anyway, if you missed any of the sermons on generosity, you can go out on our web, find the listen and read button, and click on that, and all the sermons are out there. Actually, we do now have a reading portion. When it says listen and read, we're not just yanking your chain and it's just listening. We're actually, our pastors and directors are blogging. And so if you go to Listen and Read, there's a post out there now by Bert McTeer, our executive pastor, and there's about to be a new one posted hopefully by the end of this week. So pay attention and go to the Listen and Read. Catch up on any of the sermons. If you weren't here last week and you missed Dwayne White, our pastor friend from Texas, you really want to go back and listen to that. Today we are I'm going to speak in Spanish the whole. We are transitioning to the value of worship. I'm going to start out today, and then Merle and Paul Reed, our friend from Ireland, will cover two more weeks of the topic of worship. First, I want to clarify, what do we mean by values? If we're doing a series on our values, what do we mean by that? Well, it's not, I really value my Picasso painting, and so I'm going to put it in a safe at Fort Knox. And it's not, my financial portfolio has so much value. When we here are talking about values, we're talking about the actions, the characteristics, and the beliefs that are important to us as a church. They're the things that really matter to us, The things that we want to be known for, they are our priorities. And they support and they're the basis for the things that we do here around here at Grace Covenant. So these eight things, which if you're bored with what I'm saying today, you can just look at all these and you'll know what's coming. Authentic community, outreach, Holy Spirit, impartiality, discipleship, worship, generosity, and cultural relevancy. Those are Grace Covenant's eight values. Again, you can go out on the website and find these with an explanation as to what each one is. And we hope that when you, or anyone really, looks into the life of Grace Covenant Church, which essentially is the life of you all, of us, because the church isn't a building, the church is the people. So that when you look into the life of Grace Covenant Church, and others do, that they will see these values in action. As Merle and Mike both shared in the context of when they preached on generosity, values aren't what we just currently believe, they're also what we are aspiring to. You know, until Jesus comes, we're never going to get to a point where we're like, you know what, we've been generous enough, we're done, check that off. Let's see, we've ministered in the Holy Spirit enough, everybody's healed, we're done. Discipleship, yep, everybody's grown up in God, they're perfect, we're done. Like, we will always be aspiring for more and more of these values. And we believe them and are walking in them now, but we always want to keep walking into more and more of them. Now, if you have been attending this church for more than 7 years, which probably many of you haven't, but you could be thinking, okay, we're starting on worship, and yeah, they're going to have Sue Shank open on worship, and I get it because she used to lead worship here for many, many years, and so she's going to get up, and she's going to talk about how you enter into worship, and you need to clap your hands, and you need to raise your arms, and you need to sing, and you need... I'm not going to do that. Today, we're going to dig pretty deeply into just one verse, and I want to talk about the walk of worship, the practical living out of worship in our everyday lives. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we do want to get to the heart of worship, that it is all about you, Jesus. And in the words of that song, as it goes further, we're sorry for the things we've made it, because it really is just about you, Lord. I pray that you would give us new insight into what worship really is through the words that are shared, Lord, not because of what I'm going to say, but what your Holy Spirit can speak through these words. So I'm asking that you would anoint the words that are spoken today. You would speak to each and every person here, that each one of us would take one step further into our walk of worship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's start out first by defining the word worship. The English word worship was originally spelled worth-ship. W-O-R-T-H-S-H-I-P, worth-ship. And it meant to acknowledge the worth of something. Thus, we worship something when we act as if it has value. It's a life's response to the worthiness of an object. One devotional that I recently read put it this way: we worship from the moment our eyes open in the morning to the second they close at night. Worship is magnifying or making much of someone or something by our actions, thoughts, or words. It is setting anything, be it God or otherwise, into the place of high prominence and authority in our lives. It is setting anything, be it God or otherwise, into the high place of prominence and authority in our lives. And that right there would be enough to just sit on and chew on and maybe even convict us a little bit to what do we set as high priority on a daily basis. Grace Covenant Church's value on worship. Oh, Lord, please let this work. Dick, what should I be doing? Whew, thank you, Lord. Grace Covenant Church's value on worship is honoring God and edifying the body of Christ by wholeheartedly offering our lives, spirit, mind, and body to Him. Honoring God and edifying the body of Christ by wholeheartedly offering our lives, spirit, mind, and body to Him. And it's based on Romans 12, 1 and John chapter 4, 23 through 24. A few observations about this value. First of all, it's very God-focused. We're honoring God, and we're edifying others by offering our lives to Him. We're honoring God, we're offering our lives to Him. Worship is not about me. Worship is not about you. You know, a lot of times in a Sunday morning worship service like we just have, it's really hard sometimes for us not to have this underlying attitude of, it's about me, and they didn't really do the songs that I like, and why haven't we done this song, and why are we still singing that? It's not about you, and it's not about me. Worship is very God-focused. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Whether we're talking about singing our worship or living out our worship, it is all about God. And when we make it, what I like about this too, when we make it all about God and we're worshiping God, the body of Christ is edified. The Greek word for edification in the New Testament is oikodomeo, and it's translated as building of a house, or to restore by building, to rebuild or repair. So when we are living lives of wholehearted worship to God, it helps to build the house of God. And that's us. That's you all. When we're worshiping God by the way that we live, it creates an atmosphere where you and or others can be restored, rebuilt, repaired, renewed. If you were here last Sunday evening and when Dwayne White spoke, he was talking about the re's. And he had us each ask the Lord, what's the re word that you have for me? Here's some great ones. In the context of worshiping God, we can be repaired, restored, renewed, because that's what edification means. That's exciting. All right, I said earlier that we're going to dig into one scripture today as we study the walk of worship. So if you have your Bibles with you or your electronic device, or you can just look up here, we are going to look at Romans 12, verse 1. And I have it up here in three different versions because I thought they all were great with a good perspective on them. Romans 12, 1 reads, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And that's in the New American Standard. The New International Version says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And the New Living Translation says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. So I'm just going to dig into this verse and take it apart one word by one word as we study this walk of worship. So Paul says, I urge you therefore. Therefore, why? Like, what has gone before this that he's saying, therefore? Well, up until this point, chapters 1 through 11 in Romans, which obviously when Paul was writing this, he wasn't writing it in chapters, but everything he has said up until this point, he's covered things like justification by faith, sanctification, mercy, grace, dead to sin but alive to Christ, Adam and Jesus being compared and contrasted. And so Paul's statement in this verse doesn't like come out of nowhere. It has roots. He's saying, build your life on the things that I have said before this. Because of everything that I have said before this, build your life and walk out your life this way. Sink your roots here. Because of all the things that Paul has just talked about, start living it out. Start living it out. One commentator said it this way, and I thought it was brilliant. He said, in chapter 12, we go from creed to conduct, from belief to behavior, and from theology to walkology. So obviously there's no such word as walkology, but I think there should be. I think it's a great word. Like, don't just read all this theology. Yeah, that's good. Oh yeah, I believe it. Okay, now start walking it out. Because of all this, therefore, start walking it out. I urge you, therefore. Paul says, I urge you. He isn't commanding or demanding or pulling rank here. This translates as a call to one side. And so it would be like, Jane, I'm going to use you as a... I'm not giving away $100 like Merle did a couple weeks ago. It would be like, I urge you to pull along somebody to one side. Like, Jane,
yeah.
I urge you, therefore, by the mercies of God. So it's like a walking alongside somebody and urging them. It's not like, you better do this, and I'm demanding you, and you're in big trouble if you don't. It's a walking alongside somebody. You can see Merle later, maybe he has $100 for you. If y'all don't know what I'm talking about, you need to listen to the sermon from a couple weeks ago. And so Paul's saying, I urge you, like, come alongside and do this. I urge you, therefore. Let's do this together. You know, Jane and I, you can't walk side by side. Like, we couldn't have walked that way, her doing it at one point and me doing it another. We were together. So Paul's saying, I urge you, let's do this together, side by side. I urge you, therefore, brethren. Well, basically, brethren is brothers and sisters, men and women. This is a call to all of us. Nobody gets to clip out. Nobody's like, well, brethren, that's probably guys. No, it's for men and for women. So for everybody. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. By the mercies of God. The key word in Romans up until this point, at the beginning of Romans 12, is mercy. And so it's no wonder that Paul ties this admonition back to the mercies of God. And what I love is this denotes mercy upon mercy. There's like a layering effect. By the mercies upon mercies upon mercies of God. And I don't know about you, but I need the mercies upon mercies upon mercies of God. Sometimes, like in a whole day, I think I exhaust God by the layering. So it's not just God just gives us this flat rate of mercy. It's this layering of mercies upon mercies. It's the compassion and the tenderness of God. One commentator said, it's a sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it, and in the case of God, with the ability to, in fact, do so. Sometimes we see the distress and the hurts and the situations of others, but we can't always fix things. But by the mercies upon mercies of God, he's able to alleviate that. It's as if Paul is saying, build your life on this mercy. Sink your roots into this mercy. The best motivation to live for God and to walk in worship towards Him on a daily basis is a good memory of all the mercies He has shown to you and I on a daily basis. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present. You know, if you are giving something to somebody, but you're feeling like, okay, I surrender. Okay, I have to give you this present at Christmas. Okay, I have to give you this award. You know, that's not real. It's not willingly. It's a forceful pulling out of your hands or surrendering. It implies hesitancy or reluctance. But when we present something to somebody, it's totally different. When somebody presents an award, like they happily give it up. When somebody presents a gift to you, it's like, I can't wait to give this to you. And presenting somebody something implies a glad, happy, joyous, spontaneous, willing offering of oneself. It literally means to place or set beside at someone's disposal. I'm presenting somebody something at your disposal. So when we present ourselves to God, we're saying, God, I'm at your disposal. I'm at your disposal. Are you? Every day, are you presenting yourself to God in a way that says, God, I am at your disposal? I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. This represents, the word body here represents the entirety of who we are. It's not just, okay, like I'll keep my, you know, body in good shape, but I'll think whatever I want and I'll do whatever I want, but, you know, keep. No, this is the entirety of who we are. Physical bodies, yes, but it also means your heart, your soul, which is your inner man, your mind, and your strength. This is not a new concept that Paul is talking about here. We've already heard Jesus in the Gospels talk about and tell us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, your entire being. And this is what Paul is saying. You need to present your body, your entire everything to God. God wants all of us, all of our body on the altar, not just a part of it. Oswald Chambers refers to how sometimes Christians have spiritual measles and we just have the spots where we give to God. You know, okay, God, I'll give you this part, but I'm not giving you everything. No, God wants all of it. Chambers, in his devotional, My Utmost for His Highest, says, we have the idea that we can dedicate our gifts to God. However, you cannot dedicate what is not yours. There's actually only one thing you can dedicate to God, and that is your right to yourself. You may need to think about that one for a while. You cannot dedicate what is not yours. There's actually only one thing you can dedicate to God, and that's your right to yourself. God wants it all. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. Note the contrast. In the Old Testament, the people were told to make a sacrifice, and in the New Testament, we're told to be a sacrifice. Old Testament, make a sacrifice. New Testament, be a sacrifice. We are to be a sacrifice from something alive, which, guess what that is? Me and you. A living sacrifice. And I hate to tell you a spoiler alert, but this involves dying to yourself. It involves continuing to live, but living in a sacrificial way towards Christ and towards others. A lot of people are willing to die for a cause. Are you willing to live for a cause? You know, in the natural, flesh stinks when it's burnt, and it hurts when it's burning. If you've ever been around somebody whose hair's on fire, hopefully that doesn't happen a lot, but, you know, Christmas Eve service gone bad with the candles at the end, like, it stinks. And if you've ever burnt your skin, it hurts. And so it is in the spiritual. Dying to ourself will not come easy. It will probably hurt. And probably every molecule in your flesh will scream out and say, I don't want to do this. What about me? What do I get out of this? I'm tired of laying my life down for other people. It's a struggle to die to ourselves and live for Jesus on a daily basis, because that almost always involves laying our lives down for others. But that is what God is asking for from us here. This is true spiritual worship. Here's a super practical, easy tip for how to live a life of worship and how to walk in worship. Start living to die, and you will be walking a life of worship. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. Holy means set apart, not as in set apart like, oh, I'm a Christian and I don't want to be around non-Christians, and so I'm not going to mingle with them and I'm going to live in a cave and like I'm not going to, like, not that way set. We're to be in the world, just not of it. When it says that holy means to be set apart, it means look different from the world, fully abandoned to God. Don't look like the world. Paul, if you read the verse, Romans 12, verse 2, he says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So holy is we're set apart. We look different. We act different. We behave differently. Be holy. Let's do what we can to encourage one another to holiness. One another, you know, as we're walking alongside and urging, like, challenge one another in the area of holiness. Disciple somebody or be discipled. Speak the truth in love to somebody. Do what we can to encourage one another towards holiness, towards being set apart, looking different than the world. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God. Acceptable means well-pleasing. Let's put our thoughts and our words and our actions to the test to discern, what does the Lord think about this? How will this stand up in His presence? My conversations, the way I dress, my work ethic, my web surfing habits, my finances. Our ultimate question should be, will this be well-pleasing to the Lord? And if it is, it's worship. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. The Greek word here for spiritual is logikos, from which we get the word logical, reasonable, rational. Simply put, if I will consider all that God has done for me, a sinful being, then the only logical, reasonable, rational, modern day duh thing to do would be for me to live my life for Him, to worship Him in the way that I live. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, and a few convenient parts that I'd like to give up to God. No, demands my soul, my life, my all. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Paul urged the people who are reading this letter, and I am urging you today, let your life be a walk of worship. Let your everyday life be a walk of worship. Worship is a full life response to the object of our worship. A full life response. Who or what is getting your full life response on a daily basis? Who or what is getting your full life response? As believers, a daily goal should be to worship God, not just the Sunday morning goal. One commentator wrote, "If God isn't at the forefront of our hearts in everyday life, he certainly won't take a front seat just because we walk into the church and sing a few songs." Ouch. If God isn't at the forefront of our hearts in everyday life, he certainly won't take a front seat just because we walk into a church and sing a few songs. You guys, worship isn't about a place anyway. It's about a person. And if you got a chance to read the John 4 passage, if you read that whole chapter very briefly, it's the story of Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman, and she's coming there every day to get water. He's thirsty. I'd like some water. And he says, if you knew the water I could give, like, you wouldn't have to draw anymore. And she's like, sweet, I can get out of doing this job every day. I'd like that water. I'm pretty excited about this. I'm going to go back and tell my husband. And he said, actually, you've had 5 husbands, and the one you're with now, you're not even married to, calls her out. And she said, I perceive you to be a prophet. And then immediately she changed the subject to, so what about this worship thing? Which right there, there's a whole sermon to go on is, you know, how often does, when God starts to pinpoint and get at something, and we change the subject? He's like, you know, actually the guy you're living with isn't even your husband. No, I perceive you're a prophet. So, about this worship thing. And she says, you know, your people worshiped in Jerusalem, and my people worship in the mountains, so where are we supposed to worship? And he basically says, yes. Meaning, and he's saying, it doesn't matter about the place. This isn't worship because you came to this building on a Sunday morning. Now I have worshiped. Well, you did have a form of worship, but it's about the person, not the place. Every day we can walk in worship when we live in a way that draws attention to God, that honors God, and that's reflective of who God is. Not that draws attention to me, not that honors me, and not that's reflective of who I am. Living a life of worship isn't an earthly mindset. It will not come naturally. I hate to tell you that. It will come supernaturally. One worship pastor said, we must be intentional if we are to keep his glory at the forefront of our thoughts and the basis of our actions. We have got to be intentional. As often as we yield ourselves to God on a daily basis, we are involved in the walk of worship. So that means, for instance, as often as we forgive those who have offended us, we're worshiping. As often as we handle our finances, tithing, giving, being generous, not cheating on our taxes, paying our bills on time, we are worshiping. As often as we spend personal daily time with the Lord, we are worshiping. As often as we keep our words and conversations pure, not gossiping, not slandering, honoring and edifying in our conversation, we are worshiping. As often as we are preferring one another as more important than ourselves, we are worshiping. As often as we use our electronic devices in a way that we wouldn't be ashamed to show the Lord every single website that we've been on, we are worshiping. As often as we keep an attitude, a proper attitude towards food, not using it as a coping mechanism or a means of control or any other substance, we are worshiping. As often as we walk in honesty and integrity in our workplace and give a good full day's work, we are worshiping. And the list could go on and on. I'll bring you more than a song. For a song in itself is not what you have required. Here's Romans 12:1 in the Message, which isn't a translation, it's a paraphrase, but I love this. So, here's what I want you to do, God helping you. God help, like we cannot do this on our own. God has to help us. Take your everyday ordinary life, you're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Take your everyday, ordinary life and place it before God as an offering. If I could get the worship team to come, and if we could stand. What I want to do to close is we're going to sing Through the Heart of Worship again. And maybe you want to sing it again, or maybe you just want to close your eyes and listen to the people around you sing it and have it sung over you. But I just challenge you to either sing it or listen to it as others are singing in a new way after hearing this message. Rededicate your everyday life to be worship to the Lord. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. And when we're done singing, I'll close us in prayer, and I'll also call up the ministry team to be ready to pray. But right now, I just want to sing through this song. You can either sing it and rededicate your walk, everyday walking of life, to be a worship unto God, or you can just listen and have it sung over.